This is Getting Past Subtitles. My name is Sean Peel.
And I'm DK Lee.
And this is it. This is actually the last episode of the series.
Yeah.
We've made it out of the old eras of the black and whites. Wrapping it up back into 1948, 49. One of those 2 years this movie came out. Pretty enjoyable series so far. Pretty enlightening.
You liked it?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. All the movies are pretty good, actually.
To be honest, they're actually pretty good.
They're more bad. So this was,
I don't think there was one movie that I was like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah. Or even like, there wasn't even a movie that was like, oh, this was just okay.
They're all pretty.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed all of them to a degree.
See, old movies are good. I'm telling you.
Sometimes.
The quality of movies, you know.
What, they've gotten worse in time?
No, I mean, I think it depends on where you look, right?
Sure.
I wouldn't say that all movies that are being made right now are, like, bad, right? Mm. But most of the time, it's not even that it's bad technically.
Right.
I think it's more like the spirit of, like, the passion for creating something that people really want or, like, want to show to the world.
Uh-huh.
Kind of feels like it's missing, you know?
We've lost that soul.
Yeah, but I mean, there are movies still doing that, I think. Like, for example, The Northman or even Everything Everywhere All at Once. And, you know, those kinds of movies, I think, still have that in spades, I think, right? But
yeah,
there's still a lot of, like, very manufactured movies, right? And I think that's where it kind of falls apart. But
It's true.
But it's still good movies around if you look for them, right?
they're a dime a dozen, but they're not non-existent.
Right. It's just easier to look at the past because they're already done and set in stone.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. You just have to go back to it and it's there.
Yeah.
And you can just be like, yeah, there were so many good movies back then, but it's already there. And
we tend to just kind of like embellish the past.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That happens a lot. So,
but, you know, there's still good movies now.
You know, particularly with like who we're talking about today, Ozu, right? Especially like in the film world. Everybody's, you know, he's like one of the most, you know, inspiring filmmakers and ones that made a huge wave in cinema as a whole. So he tends to very much like embellish a lot of his work and stuff like that. So, and this one being no different, we watched for this week, Late Spring. And I haven't seen an Ozu film outside of this. It's the first time. Have you seen this one?
This one, no.
But you saw
first time.
Tokyo Story,
yes.
Right? Is that the only
movie
that you've seen? I think I picked this one for the series. I can't remember.
I don't remember who picked it. I probably did.
Because
I did Housemaid and I did
Book of Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I wanted to do an Ozu film finally. So pretty good pick. This movie in particular, Late Spring, was inspired by a short novel called Father and Daughter from the novelist Kazuo Hirotsu. And it is the first of the quote-unquote, like, Noriko trilogy, which, so the two other movies after this was Early Summer and then Tokyo Story, which the actress who plays Noriko basically plays the same character Noriko for both films.
Well, same character. It's the same name, but different,
but they're not,
characters, yeah.
Right. Somebody just died upstairs. Don't. But yeah, so the same name character, but different characters per each one. So pretty interesting there. I think this movie is pretty well known also just because like this movie came pretty late in his career. And I think this was like sort of the first installment of like the latter part of his career and a lot of his work and stuff like that. So it kind of like started sort of like, I guess, a trend or sort of like the style that he takes, you know, with the latter part of his life in that way.
Yeah.
So this movie kind of is seen as like a turning point in that sense. But there's a main thing that I want to talk about later on. But first impressions wise, overall, like I said, pretty good film. Takes a little bit for me, I think, to get up to speed with it. But then it got better as I, along the way, as like more of like the drama elements started kicking in, namely like with what's her name, Miwa comes in, and then like Noriko's becoming jealous, and then there's like this tension between her and her dad. Like once that kind of starts paving the way and starts being like what's moving the movie forward is when I really started to be kind of like hook, line, and sinker, you know. But overall, like, nice, you know, it's a very like slow paced movie. Like it takes its time. It's not really about anything extravagant, right? Like it's just kind of a simple family drama, but it relies really heavily like on the characters and performances, and they do a really good job of like carrying the movie forward. So
yeah, it's like a very tranquil drama.
Yeah,
it's not even like, you know, crazy like, ah, yeah, what's going on, like how could you do this to me kind
yeah
of thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah
very like serene.
Uh-huh.
And the characters, even when they feel a certain kind of emotion,
mm-hmm,
they're very reserved,
yes,
in the way that they express yeah themselves. And that yeah and the cinematography and the way that they shoot it, I think also plays really well, or like it kind of reinforces that, right?
Yeah. It's just funny like that, you said the movie really, it's really just like Noriko's the daughter, like, and just marrying off your daughter. That's literally what the movie
yeah
is.
Yeah, it's basically Noriko doesn't want to get married, and yeah the father and the aunt figuring out a way to get yeah married.
Yeah, like everybody, because she's like 27, and you know, for the time, it's like she's kind of like past the prime age to get married, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, we got to get her married before it's too late, sort of thing. And like, even her friend and like everybody, just all the supporting characters are like, we got to get you married. We're kind of worried about you.
And her friends is like divorced.
Yeah. But like you said, but it's funny because I feel like even with something as simple as that, you could easily make it sort of a bigger drama. Like,
well,
like,
yeah, like embellished, right? Like,
right,
like
yeah,
all
yeah
this crazy stuff happening.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, like a
like
lot
a
of
soap, like a soap opera, kind of, not a soap opera, but what are those, like soap TV?
Yeah. But like I said, even just like emotional wise, a lot of the characters are very reserved, even in like their misgivings about certain things, or their refusal to, you know, Noriko's refusal to kind of like see the date or anything like that. But it's very sort of downplayed into just kind of small, like heart to hearts in that way.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, I could see like, you could introduce story elements that kind of like make it a little more spazzazz, or the performances could definitely have a little more like, you know, explosiveness to them. But for the most part, like it just kind of happens very low key,
yeah,
and very sort of very yeah just grounded.
That's the interesting part about Ozu's films, I think, is that a lot of things that people expect from a movie that you would put into the movie, he kind of explicitly takes out.
Right. Yeah.
You know what
yeah
I mean?
Yeah.
Like all the very, the things that we think of that might be very impactful, or like that might give the scene like life.
Right.
Right. And be like, oh, this will make my movie more interesting. He kind of like gets rid of it. A lot of examples of that is like, even like in the beginning when he first meets, when Noriko meets the professor, her father's friend, yep. Like she goes to the art exhibit with him, but we don't even go into the art exhibit.
No,
we just see the nameplate of the art exhibit, and then we see some people like going into the art exhibit, and then we just move to the restaurant right after.
Yeah,
and things like that is very like, huh?
Yeah. Right? It's like, yeah, he just like skipped that whole thing.
Like you would think that the art exhibit, like that moment, would be something like,
yeah,
interesting to for the person to watch, right?
Uh-huh.
Or like the part where Noriko is like talking with, I think, her friend about Setsu. What's his name? Setsu.
Oh, the guy Satake.
Satake, yeah. And Satake and Wait, Natsatake. Hattori. Oh, yeah. She's talking about Hattori, and then the father is talking with Noriko about it.
Yeah.
And Noriko is like, oh, he's engaged already, and like.
Yeah, like what?
We didn't know anything about that. We're just like, right. She just like throws that out there, and it's kind of like a very, just. Out of the blue kind of thing,
right,
that
yeah.
was never built up, because Hattori is kind of built up as the person that might be a match for Noriko.
But then
it's just like, he's already deflated. It just gets deflated in such a such a quiet scene.
Yeah.
That you're just kind of confused there. You're like, oh, okay.
Well, it's funny is that like he doesn't. Like, in the scenes, there's still build up to these occasions. Like, even with the art exhibit thing, like, she bumps into Onodora. It's like, oh, I haven't seen you for whatever. Like, yeah. And it's like, he's like, oh, do you want to accompany me today? And then, like, they build up to going to the art exhibit. But then we skip that part. And then we go straight to the bar. And then, with Hattori, like, the whole thing about him being the love interest is, like, built up between, like...
They go to the beach together, and they're talking.
They're like metaphorically, kind of like, you know, hinting at it, and then and even Shishiki, the dad, and his sister Masa, like they're even like she's like what about Hattori, and he's like, oh, he does kind of seem like a nice gentleman, and he's.
And conveniently removes the part that he's engaged.
Right, yeah, yeah. And it's just like building up to like, okay, now Shishiki's like, so what's going on with you guys? Mm-hmm. And Noriko's like, no, he's engaged. Like, you didn't know. And it's like, no, he didn't know.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and it just, you just curb that whole thing after that. Yeah. And it's just kind of like that technique is just rinsed and repeated sort of throughout the movie.
Yeah. But I think that kind of gives it life, right?
Yeah.
Where in a movie like this, in a very family drama thing, it kind of gives you that almost twist like feeling,
right? Yeah, it just pulls just the rug
like,
under
yeah,
you
it
a little
pulls
bit.
The rug under you is like, oh, I guess this is not the thing.
I guess this wasn't as important as right. I thought it was gonna be. I mean, I think the biggest one is definitely meeting Satake, right? Because he's just an urban legend to the viewer. And apparently Noriko actually goes and meets him, but we totally skip it. And then like the next scene is she's at her friend's house.
And she's like, oh yeah, well, he looks, seemed like a very nice guy.
And they're like talking about him and stuff. And we're like, we don't have any context to any of this.
Yeah. It's a very interesting thing, right? Since like, yeah, like as a filmmaker, you think about putting that scene in there. Like it's her meeting with the person that she's supposed to get married to. That's like a pretty big deal.
Exactly.
And he's like, nah, we don't need this.
It's not central at all.
And I think it's a testament to what Ozu wanted to really portray, right? Like his focus was on, right? Yeah. In this movie. And you can get a glimpse of that through the things that he wanted to put in the movie rather than the things that he, you know, didn't.
Yeah. It definitely does a good job of just narrowing a focus and like you said, just really kind of doubling down on.
Like it's really about the father and the daughter.
100%, yeah.
There's no guy. guy. you don't put him in there.
He is the
man.
And
that really adds something to the relationship between the father and daughter.
Right, yeah. And it really just doubles down on, like, even just for Noriko's, like, misgivings and really understanding her perspective on everything, you know?
And just, like, her almost obsession with wanting to be with her father.
Oh, my God, dude. kind of shaky sometimes.
Kind of weird. But yeah, it's like that, too. And just, like, even when she gets married, it's, like, you just see her.
Yeah.
And you don't even see the actual, like... marriage part, you just see her the beginning, you know, when the father and the aunt sees her and it's like, oh, you're so beautiful part.
Yeah.
And then they get married and so like, okay, you don't see her anymore after that either.
You just assume that she's happy, or at least is trying to be happy in that sense. But yeah, I'll run it through really quick as far as the quick take goes. So we follow the Sumiya family, who is the father, Shishiki, and then the daughter, Noriko. And the father is widowed, and he's kind of older now, and his daughter is 27. And Shishiki and Shizuke's sister Masa, who's obviously Noriko's aunt. Actually, when I watched it again, it was even before that. Oda Deno, when Noriko brought him to the house, they were talking about Noriko and talking about, like, oh yeah, she's kind of older enough to get married now. And he's like, oh, I should probably do something about that. And then when he meets his aunt kind of has the same semblance, and pretty much they kind of convince Shizuki, like, yeah, it's about time that we kind of find a prospect for him, for my daughter. And even Noriko's friend, Kitagawa, also has the same sort of, impression.
Yeah.
But Noriko, however, doesn't want to get married. And so at first, they kind of look to Shizuki's, like we said, his student, Hitori, as being like a prospect. But then it turns out that he is engaged to somebody. And Noriko kind of like laughs at the whole like past sort of thing. But then Masa comes to Noriko with a prospect, like this really perfect guy from Tokyo. And she like even fits the bill for like Noriko's preference, you know, and like face value, he's like perfect and there's no reason to kind of turn him away. But Noriko still has like her misgivings to get married in general. Because basically she doesn't want to like leave her father's side.
Yeah.
Because her dad's widowed and he's like older, and she knows she's like the caretaker in the household, right? So no one will be there for him to take care of him as far as just like doing mundane things. And Obi like supports that too, right? Like he tries to do things, but he's like, when he serves her and Katagawa tea, and he like forgets the sugar and the spoons and all these kind of things, right? But everybody's kind of like pushing for her to kind of get married despite all this. And Shishiki's kind of like argument to combat her is like, well, you don't have to worry about me if you go off, because I'll be fine. And that's because like Masa has a prospect for Shishiki to get remarried.
Yeah.
And this causes like a really big rift for Noriko, because she doesn't like the idea of remarriage, essentially, right? And so she kind of has like this really big bitterness towards her father after she finds out that Miwa is sort of a prospect for him to get married. And then once she goes off and gets married, then he will be remarried. And because of that, she basically kind of goes along with meeting Satake at first, and then goes along with marrying him, despite sort of, you know, her feeling this way. But it isn't until they go out to like a trip to Kyoto where they visit their friend, Onodera, and that she kind of has a change of perspective, because Onodera is someone who's remarried as well. And even though she feels like, you know, a bad impression on him because of that, after she like meets the new wife and meets, like, sees the relationship between, like, their family, she kind of has a change of heart, right? She's like, I was sort of wrong to kind of believe that without having seen them. And then this leads to, like, a conversation with her dad. And eventually she kind of just has a new perspective about the whole thing and decides to go along with the marriage, like, wholeheartedly to find her own happiness, right? And then the movie ends with...
Or try to, anyway.
But yeah, and then the movie ends with, like, before the wedding, and she's, like, in the whole get-up and stuff, so.
Yeah. Pretty. And then at the end, the father's kind of alone, and he goes back home, and he's, like, cutting the apple, and it ends, like, it's right there.
Well, before that, it's, like, he's at the bar with Kitagawa, and basically, it's, like, another sweep under the rug that he actually kind of, like, lied. He isn't going to get married to Miwa. He just said that to push his daughter to kind of get married, you know? But he decides he would stay a widow. And she's like, oh, you're so sweet. You're a terrible liar, but you're a nice old man. But, yeah, pretty nice and very, like, well-crafted story overall. It all really worked, you know?
Mm.
What was your... What did you think of, like, the ending? So, like, when they're in Kyoto and, like, her, Noriko and her dad are, like, having that heart-to-heart sort of thing.
Yeah.
Just what did you think of, like, how it all ended? And she was like, I was wrong.
Well, I think that she still has her own feelings and desires to stay with the father. She even says it, right? And,
yeah.
And I like the acting of it, because I think that although she says it with her mouth, she doesn't really believe it. That's like the impression I get.
Yeah.
From that, because she's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry for being selfish and all that. But I don't think she really believes that herself, you know?
Right.
I think that she still feels like, you know, she wants to be with the father, and that would really make her more happy than you know, going and getting remarried. Getting married for the first time. But the father does say, like, you know, it might take you 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, but you gotta try to, like, make it happen, make the happy, you know, you have to
make it work.
Put effort into finding your happiness. Mm-hmm. And I think that she is going to try to do that. But, like, also, I kind of wonder, like, how she would feel if she finds out that the father lied to her and,
right,
and, like, did not get remarried and he's, like, living alone. Because I that last scene with him, you know, with the apple, and he's, like, cutting the apple and then, like, the peel drops. I really feel like that's such a good, like, cliffhanger almost to end it on, end the movie on. Because at that point, like, he's really alone, and he has successfully gotten his daughter married, but
at what cost?
It's just kind of that lingering, you know, thought of, you know, how would she feel if she found out about that?
Right.
And it never really answers that, but I think that's a good place to end the movie, just because it's just like a perfect place where you're left with, you know, this desire to kind of want more.
Right.
And I think that's a good place to leave your audience.
Yeah. I think it's good as, like, a just like a confrontation of reality sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was going to say, like, he worked so hard, but he didn't really work that hard to get her married.
Yeah. Like, everyone else did it for
exactly,
him.
Exactly. We'll definitely talk about the dad, but it's like, you know, all this effort was put in to get her married, and, like, you know, his part was to just kind of, like, subvert her and tell that lie, you know? And like I said, it was, like, kind of a big lie in a way, and that, like, it's true, like, what would happen to him once he's alone, you know? Like, I don't think he himself is even sure if he could take care of.
No, I mean, you know, I don't think that it's necessarily the taking care of part that he's worried about. I think it's just, like, that void that you feel when somebody leaves. Uh-huh. And I think that moment kind of showed that really well.
Right.
You know, him just sitting there alone kind of thing.
And that's just, like, that's the reality part of it.
Right.
It's like, now you're confronting reality, and it's like,
after, like, because, like, the scene before, I love the juxtaposition of the scene before where Kitagawa says, like, yeah, I'm gonna go visit, you know, like, I'll go visit often, like, you know, you're such a sweet old man for, you know, doing that for your daughter and everything. And it's kind of that juxtaposition, like, right after that, when he comes back home,
he's just alone.
And just kind of seeing that is very, like, you know, it's not all that great. Just, like, just because, like, Kitagawa says, yeah, I'll go visit. It's not, that's not the reality of things, you know?
He's like, nope, you're just alone now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a.
What did you think about that, though? Like, him lying to get her married? Do you approve? Do you approve?
10 out of 10. Lie to your kids to achieve their own happiness. Yes. No, I thought it worked from, like, you know, from a story perspective, it really worked. I'm trying to think, like, did I really even believe that he was going to get married to Miwa from the start, you know? Like, just thinking from an audience perspective.
You're not given too much, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're not given too much of, like, an interaction between them to really, like...
He was always in a distance. Like, they never...
Yeah, especially during the performance, I think it's called a no performance or whatever.
Yeah.
Where, like, they do the thing and then you have that little glance. Like the greeting, right?
Yeah,
it's just kind of very implied. Everything's implied.
Right.
But
exactly.
I think Setsuko, Noriko, really does a good job of, like, showing her emotions where she's literally just sitting there, right? And she's just like looking back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking just down. Like... And you get so much out of that. And it's really, you know, a testament to how well she acted for that. But
yeah, I mean, Noriko's performance in this movie is just like top notch all around. I don't know, that might be the best scene because of that. Like just how well, she was able to communicate so much without saying anything, you know? And it is like super, it's a pretty long scene in general, but you do just get so much out of her emotions and, you know, kind of what she's thinking and going through in that whole scene, right?
There's so much of her character that it's like, it's weird for me because like, she almost doesn't feel human in one sense, in one regard.
Yeah, okay, I kind of understand.
She's always smiling.
Yes.
Like everything, she's smiling, and that her smile has a very weird, like, almost unnatural feel to it.
Right, yeah.
Because she smiles so much. Like, even when she's, like, speaking, she's, like, has such a smile on.
Yep.
For, like, almost everything that you kind of feel, like... Is she really feeling this way?
Exactly,
or like, is she not? Like,
it's like a facade.
Like, is it just like a front? And all of that, like, kind of adds to, like, that moment, even at the performance as well, where she actually finally kind of like has a very disgruntled face.
Right.
And other moments when she's mad, like, after she comes out of that, and she, like, runs off because, you know, the dad's like, oh, you want to go eat at the restaurant again?
Right.
And she just, like, runs off
to... I have something to do.
And she goes to the friend's house.
Right.
And, like, the friend is like, no,
you gotta get married. This is why you need a husband. She's like, what kind of friend are you?
She's like, this is, like, exactly the opposite of what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, at that moment, she also kind of has a very big frown.
Yeah.
But just, like, the way that, like, her character is from the beginning, like, even when she's, like, jokingly, like, the father is like, yeah, bring me tea. Mm. And she's, like, always, like, smiling, and she's very, like, happy to do it and stuff.
Right.
And all of that kind of, it feels genuine, but also, like, it feels like she's, like, stuck in this, like, almost Joker smile mode in one sense, right?
Yeah.
Is it just me?
Or? No. It's so easy to, like, notice that. Because she smiles so often, it's like what exactly like depth is her to a character?
Yeah.
Because she smiles and she's like, she goes along with a lot of things. She's like super polite. Like it just doesn't add depth to her. So like you said, it just like feels fake in a little bit of a way.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, you know, once the drama starts kicking in and we're seeing other parts of her, like, it makes such a good movie because it's like, she's human now. Like, thank God, you know?
Like, there's that weird, like, dissonance there.
Yeah, exactly.
With her smile and the way that she wants to live her life.
That's why it's like that scene. and even just everything else outside of her smile becomes so emphasized and well acted because we've known just, like, the polite part of her.
Yeah.
So when we see the other sides of her, it feels really impactful in a way.
Even when she doesn't do too much.
Right.
Right.
Right. So that's why I think that no scene is really good. And even the scene before that when, like, the first time, right, it's she visits her aunt in her place. And I think this is when she tells her about Satake at first.
Mm.
And she's, you know, she's still, like, smiling and stuff. But she's, like, has her misgivings, like, like, that's kind of you, but no. And then Masa's like, don't leave, like, sit down, like, you know, right? And he's like, no, you should really get married or whatever. And she's like, that's not really something I want to talk about. And then she kind of asks her why. And then she tells her, like, you know, I can't leave my father's side. And she's like, oh, you don't have to worry about that because I have Miwa who's going to do. And then that's when, like, she breaks down.
Yeah.
And then her expression changes and, like, everything about her changes. And she's like, she's like, is this, like, for real?
Yeah.
And then she goes back home and then that, you know, she confronts her dad and they have, like, that talk.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, like, such a 180 for a character there.
Like the one thing that she really, really can't stand, especially for the father, is, like, the remarriage thing, right? Like,
right,
the thought of like somebody having marrying another person again. Mm-hmm. Like she even says like, oh, like she teases the professor.
Yeah.
But like, it's actually like what she really, really thinks is like, that's nasty. Yes. Like that's like disgusting, that's filthy, kind of thing. Right. Like she says it jokingly, but you know, like it's really how she feels.
Right.
Because of the fact that during the no performance, when the father and Miwa has that interaction, mm-hmm. she just has a complete like look of disgust, right? Exactly, it's like, wow. Yeah. And that's how you know that like the joking part is like partially a joke, but
right.
mostly yeah. She's like, no, that's not cool.
You're a dirty old man.
And the only fact that she's okay with it is because it's not her own father.
Right.
It's
yeah. Like, yeah. Exactly.
It's another person. Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's
yeah.
like it's not my problem.
Well, like even it's so funny because like even in that scene, right? They're talking at the bar and stuff, and then she mentions like, aren't you remarried, by the way? Mm. And like she's smiling the whole time, but it's like,
yeah. But there's like an eerie, like that smile though. Like there's an eerie smile, like yeah. behind that. It kind of feels like she's like judging him pretty hard.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Well, it's funny because like watching it again, I was like, kind of hitting him pretty hard here.
Yeah, yeah. Because yeah. like the way that she says it too is like very like. Like, nah, that's not cool. But, like, she's smiling the whole time. Like, right,
it's exactly, kind of like, yeah. It's like a weird, polite facade.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And seeing that, and then when she goes to the Tokyo trip, Kyoto trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then meeting the wife and stuff, it's pretty interesting, right? Like how she kind of, in one sense, kind of, you know, has a more open mind to that, right? Finally kind of understands that in one sense, but also for her father, she kind of is still hesitant in right. one way.
Yeah.
But she still agrees to get married because, you know, she kind of feels pressured, I guess.
Right.
Mostly pressured.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, it's like there's, I guess, helpless, like, you know, yeah, to, like, out of her hands at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it is like a cool, like, change of character there where she kind of has a lesser stance on her right. remarriage thing.
Right, yeah. That's why I kind of asked, because, like, in that scene where they're in their room together and she kind of, like, confesses, like, oh, I was sort of wrong to assume what I felt. And
yeah.
obviously the nasty comments that I gave to yeah. Ona did in the beginning. But it does feel like, I don't know if it was, like an acting thing or just even just intentional, but, like, it feels kind of genuine in what she's...
It does feel genuine.
Yeah.
But it also feels like she has a struggle there, right?
Exactly.
Like, what this means.
Right.
Which is, like, a very subtle thing. Like, it's not easy to, like...
Yeah.
Do that, right?
Like, to, like, be able to show that. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Exactly. So, props to her.
Yeah, like, I wonder how much of that was, like, direction. Mm. And how much of that is just like her, like right. the actor, like figuring things out and
just kind of understanding.
Yeah. And that's crazy, across. Right? That's like a golden goose right there to be able to, you know, bring that out.
Yeah. What did you think of the dad though? Because the dad is very monotone in the movie. He's similar in the sense that he's all smiles, but he's just a very like...
He's just an old man.
Yeah. He's just being like, it feels partly that he's just being carried along by other people in the movie, right? Like, it's really not until that scene and like near the end that he like is starting to contribute himself, you know?
But
and
that's
like,
kind of part of his character as well, though, right? Like, right. the fact that like he needs to be helped by, you know, the daughter and
exactly, he can't really do anything himself. Yeah, yeah.
And the aunt is like giving him advice, yeah. and even at the end when Kitaro is like, yeah, I'll go visit you often, like it's all that kind of like it's funny because in a lot of especially Western culture, I think, I mean, even in Eastern culture too, like it's a lot of times the man who's supposed to like, you know, do everything and right, you know, right. be the household like breadwinner and make sure everything's like, you know, under control.
Right.
But here it really feels like a lot of the women in are yeah, like the,
they're the ones that are leading
management
the
of the household right. and like they figure everything out and they yeah. make sure everything's running, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the men are kind of like helpless, like, you know, like just like they're yeah. almost like children in one sense.
Right,
like
right.
they're like they're yeah. in need of these help. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an interesting thing to see there.
Yeah, it's like, because because like the men are the ones are also like the decision makers, right? So right. like they kind of have the final say to things, but it does feel like throughout the movie, it's the women who are almost like behind the scenes sort of thing. Like they're yeah. constantly convincing him to like go along with
they're
it.
They're making sure that things work.
Yeah,
get to the point where he can say the decision.
It's like, I can't make Noriko say yes, but her dad, like if it comes from the dad, like she'll definitely go along with it. Yeah. So I just need to manipulate a little bit over here to make sure it works over here.
Yeah. And like the aunt seems more happy
that
she is getting married. Right. Like when she finally accepts to get married, and the aunt is like, ah, "Finally, you're gay!" Like I'm like, all this like burden is off my shoulder now, like that kind of thing.
Like that freaking like the scene when because she goes to right after she meets Sateke, and then she goes to Katagawa, and then they talk, and after that she comes back home, and Masa and Shishiki are already home, and they're like, she needs to like, I guess, give the family an answer if they're gonna get married like pretty soon, or they're eager anyway. And she's like, she's gonna say yes? Like, do you think she's gonna say yes? She's gonna say yes, right? And the dad's like, yeah, I think it'll be fine. It'll be cool. And then she comes home, and like Masa's just like, storms. I like the fact that that does like, take it easy, okay?
Yeah.
And then she goes and she's like, so you getting married?
Yeah.
You gonna say yes?
Yeah.
And then she reluctantly says yes, and she just is off to the races.
Yeah, she's done.
Yeah.
She got her answer.
She's like, we're good. We're in there. Yeah. Woo. But yeah, that whole thing is a interesting dynamic. Mm. So
there's a lot of like nuance in characters, I think. Even like Kitagawa, like just like her character as like a divorcee, who's a friend of Noriko, and and just like how she is and like the things that she does and the way that she speaks, and almost she's very like outgoing, but like she's not very reserved, she's just very out there in like everything that she does and the way that she lives. You can kind of see that even like in her like gestures and the way that she like cooks or like bakes like like a cake, which is not very typical, I feel like, of Japanese, like, you know, like you don't really see Japanese like women like baking cakes. Especially like during that time, right? Or like
it's very Western.
Like her, like when she's at the bar with the father, and
she's drinking with him
and she, like once she hears that he was like lying about the thing, she like kisses his forehead, like very like, you know,
unconventional character,
like female character back then. I feel like not very conservative, she's very like, you know,
out there
in that respect, and it's a very like interesting contrast between Noriko, who's very conservative in the way that she thinks, right? Like the way that she's like, oh, remarriage is like,
no
you cannot do that. And the way that she like, you know, dotes on the father and the way that she serves the father and all that is very, you know, contrasted by her, by Kitagawa. And I think that was a very interesting choice to have that and bring a little bit of that tension,
right?
Because they're friends, but they're also very different.
Yeah,
I think that's a very cool way of like showing that and having her as a foil,
right? And also just even like the advice that she gives Noriko is very against even herself, right? Because I can describe, like, I mean, Kitagawa was very like, very like independent woman, right? I mean, she does everything. She's a divorcee. Like, she's very much, like I said, kind of like very pretty much Western, like not very kind of conservative Japanese. But even like the way she's instructing Noriko is like pushing her also to get married and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very like opposite of
how she lives.
Exactly.
And what she did.
Yeah. It's she's like, look what's happened to me. But also you're saying things that are like,
but against. Also she says like, well, just get married. If you don't like it, just get divorced.
Yeah.
She's very chill about it too. Yeah. She's like, you should get married, go get married. And if you don't like it, just like, just be like me. Right.
Yeah.
Like it's a very kind of interesting character.
It's funny that, cause she's like, oh, it's probably going to work out because, you know, you have an arranged marriage. And like, even
though,
you know, arranged marriages are like a little old fashioned, but look at me. I didn't get an arranged marriage, and look how that ended up. So that means it'll work for you, right?
Yeah. Right? The logic there.
I know.
It's like, okay, sure.
He's just like a wrong pat on the back. Mm. Really struggling there. Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, definitely interesting character, Kitagawa.
Mm.
A ball of fun.
Yeah.
I guess she has... Who was the kid? Was that her daughter? Like Buchan or something?
I'm not sure. It may have been.
Or maybe like the aunt's...
Aunt's kid?
Maybe. Well, because he was in the room in the aunt's place. Because that's when Miwa came by. And she was like, come downstairs. So probably.
Mm.
He was just a mystery. I wasn't sure what his place in the family was. But anything else? The comparing this movie to Spring in a Small Town, because it came out around the same time, right? By the way, I watched this on HBO Max. Great digital restoration.
Mm. Like, I think I watched it on Tubi, I think.
Oh, Tubi, yeah, that's what I was available on there. With all the ads.
Yeah, I hated the ads.
You have Prime?
I don't. Prime, Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
I do. Was it on Prime?
I think so.
Oh, well, I should have done that then.
RIP.
Anyways.
But yeah, I look phenomenal on HBO. But compared to Spring in a Small Town. For starters, but also like that the biggest thing was that I realized, because a lot of what I doted on for Spring in a Small Town was just like the way that it was shot and like the use of camera, and it was kind of like theatrical, right, as I said, and a lot of it was just kind of pointing it at actors and sort of like letting them do the thing in the setting that they were. Whereas in this movie, despite being around the same time that it came out, Ozu knows how to point a camera. Like, the movie felt very much made for its medium as film. And like, as I was looking, just like the many different shots that he chose for him to use, and just like the placement of it, particularly like close-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like close-ups are such a great tool in film all around, but I feel like close-ups are like very like movie-esque.
Yeah, I mean, there's it's interesting because he never really uses over the shoulder shots. It's always like a direct frontal shot when they're talking and stuff like that. And that has a very interesting, it creates an interesting shot.
Yeah.
When you're watching the character almost talk directly to you rather than, you know, an over the shoulder where you kind of see another person.
Right, right.
And like they're talking to another person, it gives you a different impression while you're watching the movie. Also, like you said, in terms of like placing the camera, like he really, really knows like good composition.
Yeah, yeah.
And every shot that he shoots has a really appealing like composition to it that makes the audience like enjoy the the shot itself. Like,
right.
And he loves to use like a frame within a frame. Like he loves framing the shot and the characters within a frame.
Mm.
So like, for example, he would use doorways, or like he would use like different like walls and like kind of create a frame to put the characters within.
Right. Yeah.
And he's not afraid to also like cut off like parts of characters.
Right.
And like do stuff like that. Almost never moves the camera. It's a very just standing camera. And I think a lot of times, I think, especially now, in the modern like cinema world, we love moving the camera a lot.
I love moving the camera.
Right? Like, we love like, you know, slow like dollies or you know, moving like a tracking or things like that. And I think this movie really shows that you don't need to do those things. And obviously it depends on the movie and what you're making.
Yeah.
This is a very, you know, family driven, you know, drama, very peaceful, tranquil kind of thing. So I think the shots and the, you know, the lack of movement of the camera adds to that.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you're doing like an action movie, you might want to move the camera. I'm not saying that movement is bad in any sense, but I think that knowing, you know, what is helpful in engaging the audience for a certain, you know, movie or a story.
Yeah.
Is a very important thing. And I think that he really understands that very well.
Yeah.
And I think that that was one of the beautiful things that I loved about the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, when you've shot as many everyday dramas as I have.
And you know, like, not. The other thing is, like, this movie kind of makes me feel like anyone can kind of, I feel like anyone can make a movie like this.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, right. It's not hard in terms of, like, technicality.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that, like, filmmakers who want to make a movie, but, you know, have like these crazy aspirations for like different kinds of movies, if they kind of hone and pull things back a bit and right, then kind yeah. of watch a movie like this and see like just how much you can draw out even from a static shot,
yeah
and then really think about like composition and understanding like where to put the camera and like how that can add to the story, even just like the whole like aspect of not shooting the things that we think that are typically like
right.
the most like fantastical things and
how that die.
Would yeah how that would you know affect the movie, like thinking about things like that really like this movie shows and exemplifies that, you know, you can make a good movie
yeah.
and not have like 1,000 jump cuts or like you know, like this crazy, you know, tracking shot at a one right, or right. whatever. Like
yeah.
you don't need that to make a good movie. And I think that this is a really good movie for beginners to watch and to absorb some of the technical things that are simple but effective.
Yeah. I mean, even down to like, what we just talked about, where it's like then the narrative strategy that he uses, or like the philosophy, right, of skipping out on all of these important sort of scenes that you would think are important, but in reality, it's like it kind of works without him. Mm-hmm. You know, namely the marriage, right, meeting Satake, the art exhibit, like all right. these sort of what might seem like essential scenes are cut out, and then we are just going back and watching them eating right. at a restaurant, like just these mundane actions, right? Like they're not calling for, you know, big set pieces or yeah. like these big sort of elements. We're just kind of going back to sort of a character yeah. and a character.
And I just want to emphasize, like, we're not saying that just because he did this, it's good.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not the fact that he did this this way that it's good, or like that if you do show a wedding, it's bad. That's not what we're saying. I think what we're trying to get at is like understanding the story and understanding the focus and creating and making something that is creative that adds to that, right?
Right.
And that builds upon that. And I think that he's able to do that in this movie. Whereas I think sometimes people put in things just to make it look cool.
Right.
Which in and of itself isn't a bad thing, but is it really serving the story is a question, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you get the most effect out of being focused mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you know? And yeah. so it's like being able to discern between what is needed and what is not, and like what is just like the core kernel of like what your story is. And starting everything around that is it's going to take you pretty far. Yeah, pretty far, yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you cut out that big explosion. It'll work in the long run, right?
Yeah. I would think like meeting, what's his name?
Satake
would be like the biggest like
yeah, 100%.
Point of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Or like the turning point for at least the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
At least for...
Because even, like, even in the way that conversation with her and Kitagawa went, like, she seemed pretty impressed or, like, pleased to meet Satake. Like,
yeah.
I felt, like, a genuine response from her. Like, he was kind of attractive, you know, this guy from Tokyo, like, he checked all the boxes,
yeah.
right? So it kind of, like, was swinging in a positive direction, never having met him or seen them interact mm-hmm. directly, right? So it felt like post the fact, but it still seemed pretty impactful, you know? So having to miss the action of all that is like, damn.
yeah. But in one sense, you could also argue like it allows us to imagine how that thing went.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And also, like, it also, by not putting that in, we focus more on how she feels about that rather than the whole interaction. We make inferences about who he is and stuff like that.
We're no better than it on the friends and family surrounding her at that point.
At that point, we're like,
no, part of just that. Marry him.
He's such
just
a good dude.
It's perfect. What are you doing?
Yeah. But since we are, not given that, we're forced to be in her shoes and kind of stay there and be like, oh, okay, I guess she kind of liked it.
I guess it went okay, but still doesn't want to marry. That's fine.
Yeah. But to like think to do that, I think is like pretty hard. You know, that's where the creativity is coming from, I think, for Ozu. Like, really, like, the fact that I don't think I would have done that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think I would have been like, yeah, let's just cut that out and then just like do this.
Yeah.
And have it serve
the story. It's like fundamentally, right? If you're thinking about what the movie is about, you're literally just deleting what the movie is about. Like, this is about a daughter being married off, trying to get her to get married to somebody. And we take out the person that she's getting married to.
Yeah, you never see him.
Then what are we watching? Here's a movie about marriage, but we never see the marriage. Yeah. It's like, what's going on?
So, like, you kind of realize it's not really about the marriage, right?
Right.
It's really kind of about the father and the daughter and, that
relationship.
Yeah.
And like,
it works so well.
It's like,
I would not have thought about that, but wow, good job. Wow, that's cool. Like, that's really effective.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good good take on just like a family drama, right? Mm-hmm. And like, how many different ways can you kind of tell a family drama? Like, I mean, families, I think we talked about this too in our family series. I mean, I think there is a lot of stories that come out of a family drama. Like, families are never black and white. Like, every family has their goods and bads, ups and downs.
No pun intended.
There's a lot of takes and sort of different things that you can come out with, but it's just fascinating to see like how many kind of come out of that, and even in this way where it's like, getting your daughter to be married off and like the end, it's like the end of like that sort of family dynamic. Right.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting to kind of see this take on that genre.
Yeah.
But talking about the series as a whole, what'd you think? We watched just to familiarize Spring in a Small Town, The Housemaid, The Book of Fish, and then this late spring.
Yeah, I just watching this whole series, I just come to re-realize, appreciate the fact like the old masters and the people who came before us who've made movies and really learning and soaking all of that in. And even the 2021 one is pretty recent, but even him, and, like all of the movies that he has made and just like seeing that and coming to like the realization that it doesn't always have to be so like crazy and elaborate. Sometimes it can be very simple, but, like the effective telling of a story through the film medium is what's important. And I think a lot of the movies that we watch in the series really shows that, right? Like, it really exemplifies that, and it just kind of also shows why I love like the old movies so much.
Mr. Pre 20
and the 2021 movie.
that one just that single one, because it was in black and white.
But it's just like, kind of re-shows like I just have an appreciation for that, like seeing that
you can do pretty little and it can do quite a lot. I really enjoyed the series as a whole. Like, there wasn't one movie that I thought was bad or was even okay. I pretty definitely enjoyed each one, and like I said, being able to kind of like watch it and sort of appreciate it for different things, and like personally just like appreciating like how well of a story that they can tell with the time and like the resources that they were able to do and like maximize the most that they can out of a script and performances are everything, man. Like, watching all these movies, like the actors, the dialogue, the interactions, like they really push a lot of just everything that surrounds like the story so far. So that's I think probably my biggest takeaway from the series. Yeah, for sure.
That's a fun series. Very, it felt very dynamic, like the different movies that we watched, but also kind of felt like they had a certain kind of connection to each other, almost
a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah, not having color.
Well, obviously, but I don't know. There's something, I don't know. It felt like it was like, you know, for, you know, spring in a small town, and even this one kind of felt like it kind of had certain you know, I don't know. Like, it just like that feeling of like the characters kind of feeling trapped in their world, and
yeah.
And like, you know, trying to figure out a way to.
Yeah, it's actually pretty. Well, for the housemaid.
Housemaid was a little bit, but just the fact that the family drama kind of aspect of it. Even Book of Fish, like the fact that, you know, he wanted to, you know, explore and get out of the.
Yeah, that was definitely a big theme.
That kind of theme kind of felt almost.
Through line.
Unexpectedly through line in this series. But yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this series. We should do something like this again soon.
Yeah, I would definitely like to watch more of Ozu's films in the future.
You could do like a retrospective on him too.
Yeah, you know, New Year's coming up.
Yeah.
somehow every January, that's what we do here.
Yeah, so what are we watching for our next series?
The next series is a little more lighthearted. You know, let's take away from the heavy drama. Actually, it wasn't really that all that heavy. This
it wasn't.
I mean, the housemaid was like maybe the most intense.
Yeah,
you know, but
it was fun though. It was fun intense. It wasn't like dreary one.
But this new series is about buddy cops. It's a pretty fun. Everybody enjoys subgenre. I think you gotta enjoy a good buddy cop movie.
Yeah,
right. I think, and you know, Asia has them. Korea. Like
definitely has them in spades.
Gangster movies.
Almost like, half of their movies like buddy
cops. If it's about cops and gangsters, like they got it all, dude. Yeah. But the lineup will go Midnight Runners, directed by Jason Kim, came out in 2017. So personal favorite. Veteran by Ryu Sung-won, came out in 2015. Mr. and Mrs. Cops by Jung Da-won.
You can see a trend here, right?
I see, like this, I know, right?
Korean list.
Oh, these are all Korean. Oh, shoot. This one came out in 2019. And then Tiger on Beat by Lau Kar-leung.
Which is not
Korean. 1988. Mm. So, you know, delete Tiger on Beat. We'll just go with
something. One more. We'll pick one more.
One more Korean. No, this is going to be a fun series. This will be a fun one to watch.
Yeah.
I have seen Midnight Runners a lot. It's actually been a little bit of time. It's been long enough, I think I can enjoy it again. But have you ever seen?
I don't think I have, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a free trip.
But it might be like the other one where like I thought I didn't see it and I actually did.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, I'm pretty sure I didn't watch it, though.
Gotcha. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Which ones have you seen? You seen Mr. and Mrs. Cops?
I didn't.
No, you didn't?
I watched Veteran, though.
Oh, Veteran was one, so okay. I haven't seen... Midnight is the only one I've seen. I didn't see any of the other ones, so...
So we have one.
One.
Yeah.
Two mysteries. So we'll be along with the ride with you guys, if you haven't seen them already, so... Mm. But kick it off next week, Midnight Runners. It will be a fun one. Other than that, quick shout out to our Patreon page. If you want to check out the new series a week before, then come and subscribe along with other goodies. Other than that, we will see you next week. Peace.
Peace.